All right. Hi, everyone. Welcome to our second group call of the month. Happy January. Happy middle of the year. Ezra is laughing.
Sorry. I have the giggles.
Ezra has the giggles.
They're gone for at least a millisecond.
Go ahead. Okay. Let's see. Our topic is lead magnets, list builders, and side products. So for those of you who are listening on the replay, please post your questions afterwards too. For those of you who are here, I can't wait to hear the questions. And I love what Hugh says. Don't get serious ever.
Promise.
Good. So let's start with our weekly, our check-in. I would love to hear from each of you. What is your metaphor check-in? What's a word or a phrase to express how you're feeling with your creative writing project right now? And also, if you feel like it, get more specific. You can either put it in the chat or in the share about where you're at in your project right now. Like what phase of it specifically? If you're editing, what are you doing with the edit? You know, if you're marketing, if you're writing your first draft, if you're writing a few books at the same time, it's nice to hear from everyone what are the different projects we're working on. And be sure to share your genre as well. We did get a new group member today, but I don't quite, Kim, but I don't see her here. I'm not sure if she's coming, but we could say, hi, Kim.
Thank you.
I'm so glad that you've joined us. And let's see, I realize I'm not in the spotlight, and I may as well put it in the spotlight. Okay.
All right.
And I'm so short. I want to be short. All right.
Okay.
We like to start with Ezra for the metaphor check-in so we can give you guys an example while he slides down in his chair.
Yeah.
So give us your metaphor check-in. Maybe say exactly kind of what,
yeah.
Then give us the specific.
I got it.
And then your genre.
Right.
Okay.
So,
and talk to the green dot.
Yeah. I feel like it's just that I've overcome this block. It's about a bad weekend that now I feel really happy. I'm working on the first draft of something that I thought would kind of just be semi-good. And it's turning out, much better than I thought it would be. It's an erotic paranormal romance, and it's cowboys and zombies on a train.
Okay.
That's the idea.
And you're in the first drafting stage.
The first draft.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Any other projects you're working on?
And
that's okay if not.
Yeah,
it's just nice for them to know when we work on.
I'm not going to focus on others. That would be too much. But just a side note is what I noticed that helped was since I'm not great at characters, I just put specific people, actors in their, characters in the show in my mind. So yeah, I was picturing Jane and Mal from Firefly, and those people interacting a lot, and the language just came out beautifully. I already knew the kinds of things they would say, so it's really fun hanging out with them.
Yeah, great. Thank you. Super duper. All right, I'm going to go ahead and put us in gallery view. And who would like to go next with their check-in? You, all right. I'm going to put you in the hoot spotlight, you. So nice to see you.
Good to see you guys, too. So the metaphor for today is scaffolding. I've been spending my time with my first draft of my fantasy novel, breaking it up chapter by chapter and then scene by scene. I had done some outlining when I first started writing it, but that outline quickly went out the window and I never really finished the outline. So I was pantsing most of the rest of the novel, which got it done. But now that I've been going back trying to edit, which is the phase that I'm in right now, it's been a little painful. And I just feel so lost, and there's just so much of the story there that I don't remember or it doesn't make sense. So I'm trying to put it into this scaffolding, this framework. mm-hmm. of chapter by chapter and scene by scene, and I'm already seeing major problems with it, which is actually a good thing. It's good to know these things. And I'm doing very much what I saw you post, Beth, when you had your notes, your chapter by chapter corrections. And that's what I'm doing, but I'm really going very deeply into all of that. So I think once I'm done with this scaffolding, I think I'm going to breathe a sigh of relief and actually know where all the moving parts are in my story. And I think I've been just trying to take it on as a whole and not breaking it into manageable parts. And that's advice that some people in the group coaching have been giving me recently. Just break it down. So that's where I'm at right now.
Great. And did you say the genre that you're working on?
Fantasy, adult fantasy.
And I want to say that what I see you doing, you're basically creating your own roadmap of the book. So you know, like you said, where all the parts are, what all the moving parts are, and that will give you a much better idea on how to navigate for your next phase.
Yeah, exactly.
Excellent. Great. Thank you so much. All right. Let's see. We have Tammy here. We have Nicole, who also goes by Melissa. And I don't know if you want to come on audio, either one of you, or you can type into the chat your metaphor check-in. How's it going? What's your metaphor for the experience? Ooh. What's the genre and where you are? All right. Thanks, Tammy. You want to read?
Yeah. So Tammy's metaphor is from The Hero's Journey, the meeting with the goddess. Mm. Only it's her journey to connect with her inner goddess of creativity, seeking direction for the future and building a new writing discipline.
Oh, that's so wonderful, Tammy. And do you want to say where you are in your writing process what project you're currently focused on? And then Nicole's check-in, you want to read it too?
Yeah, feeling a bit blocked on her prequel.
Okay. Thanks for letting us know, Nicole. Yeah. Do you have, please post your questions in the chat, because in just a moment, we're going to dive into Q&A. So if you have questions, we want to help you.
Excuse me. So Tammy's current genre is YA. She's doing some editing on the nano novel, but she's trying to feel more connected to her work.
Excellent. Great. Yeah. Editing phase, fabulous. And Nicole's in the writing phase, I think. So Nicole, maybe you can clarify that and ask any question that you have. We are here to help you. And I think, I wanted to just quickly check my email, see if anyone was, I know a few people are coming in late, so that's cool.
And there's one of our lights is flickering just a little bit. Do you notice that at all? I'm just curious because it's very subtle, but I'm not sure whether you guys can tell. Anyway, it's not doing it now.
Yeah, thank goodness. So I guess I'll do my check-in.
Yeah, let's hear it.
I feel like I'm that snowball that's going downhill and gathering speed and snow in that really incredible momentum kind of way. I wrote over 3,500 words today on my current Space Station mystery romance novel. Yeah, it doesn't happen all at once, you guys. It happens in tiny bits. First, I review the previous work so I reread scene 4 and added about 200 words to that. And then I started on scene 5 and it took me so long to just write like 600 words. And then I realized, I gotta set the timer. So I set the timer and my speed of writing started to speed up.
Wow.
And then I finished the scene. I had 1400 words, about an hour and a half in total to get there.
Yeah.
And then I took a break, you know, break is important, walk around. And I came back to the writing and I wrote, so that was scene 5, and then I wrote scene 6, and then I ended up writing scene 7 too. So anyway, it ended up being, I think, 3,500 words, all of it.
That's great.
With little breaks in between.
Excellent.
While the rain was pounding, and it's awesome.
Wow.
Yeah. And it took about a total with all the breaks, it took 4 hours, just to give you guys ballpark with all the breaks and everything, and checking my email every time I took a break, checking social media, but I do it in very small, discrete chunks, and not while I'm writing. And that is a science fiction mystery romance. So, hey, Trish, just in time for check-in. Tammy says, woohoo, nice word count, Beth. Were you writing in Starbucks? I can picture the scene amid the chaos. A patron shouts,
that lady's keyboard's on fire.
Awesome. I actually was at a downtown co-working space with a friend of mine. I go with her about once or twice a month. She's a member there, and she lets me tag along. And so it was in downtown Oakland at this beautiful big warehouse co-working space. It's beautifully set up, and they have coffee there and lots of people working. So while Ezra brings Leo on scene, Trish is here. I don't see that you have audio, Trish. So you're going to have to type stuff in, but we can see you. It's so good to see you. I don't see. Oh, there's the audio function.
There we go. Got it.
There we go. Why don't you want to come on in? We're doing our metaphor check-ins with how we're doing, you know, our metaphor for what we're experiencing in our creative work. And then also, because it's fun, if you could share the specifics of your what you usually do and the genre you're working on.
Well, my genre that I want to work in most, of course, is steampunk and weird westerns. And the work I'm doing now is really, I realized over the holidays that I had a room filled floor to ceiling with books. Hold on, I'll show it to you. There we go. See them? Lots of books. And I hope you were able to see that. Lots of books. And they're all reference books. They're Western reference books, and they're steampunk books I haven't caught up on, and they're how to write books. And they're just such great reference books. Mm-hmm. And I thought, my God, they've been sitting here on the shelf while I've been taking classes with you, Beth, not to say that takes away from your classes, but they've been great classes. But they've been books I intended to use in addition to your classes, and I never opened them. Wow. So my New Year's resolution has been plow through at least a quarter of those books by my birthday. My birthday's in April. I think that's a fair goal. It won't interfere with my other goals. And so this first week in January, I've been trying to get most of them, you know, in my goal list done so that I can say by April I did it.
So I'm really a big fan of that, a big supporter. We need to consume the things that we brought into our house or let them go.
Yeah.
Yeah. And read what's on our shelf. Yeah.
Yeah. And in the thing that I wrote on your site today, I said, I'm trying to read the genre books in my genre now with a writer's eye. I'm sitting with the highlighter marker, and I'm going through to see, how did this person handle emotion here? How did they handle setting up the scene here? How were they handling dialogue through their various characters? How did they transform their character's inner voice through dialogue? I'm reading these books now differently than I would have read them even a couple of years. And I'm a lit major. I was trained in how to read a book, but I have to say, reading them through a writer's eye is different.
Yes, absolutely. And do you have a metaphor for all of this? Wonderful.
Ah, a metaphor. My goodness. I would say, you know, it's kind of like going up in a hot air balloon and you're not quite sure how much detail you're going to get to see while you're up there, but you're really looking forward to getting up to look at it. There it is.
I really enjoyed that. Yeah, that's so great. Well, thank you for that. Thanks so much.
For some very odd reason, I'm reminded of Forrest Ackerman. I got to meet him. He coined the term sci-fi, and he said, he talked about, you know, Mary Shelley wrote Frankenstein. Girl, he never wrote back. Go ahead.
That was it. Okay.
I just read Frankenstein last year through a writer's eye. And that's a very different read. It's worth going back. And most people have actually never read it. They think they saw the movie, so they know the story. But that book is written in a way that's very different from what you think the story is. And it's a fascinating book, and it's a real look into the mind of insanity and cruelty between people and the human condition. So it's a good read. It's a good horror story, but it's also just a good read as an all-around book. So I just finished that one actually last fall. So good choice, Ezra.
We actually had to read it in high school. Uh-huh. That was wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, great, great. Well, thanks, Trish. And I just, I don't know if you guys saw, I put the camera on Leo. Getting settled there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, just because he's awesome. Maybe you want to do your check-in, Leo? You want to do your check-in, Leo? You want to do check-in? What's your check-in?
Chicken.
Over here. Tell everyone how you're doing.
All right.
Enough of that. All right. We can imagine all kinds of things. he adds, you know, something. Great. So now's the time for Q&A. So any kind of questions you guys have on anything at all? Yeah, his teeth are grin. Yeah. What do you call it? The pointy teeth? Is it the incisors or the...
Yeah, maybe, because canines are the front ones, but this, you're talking about bottom one of
tooth.
The bottom.
Yeah, one of his bottom teeth came out like a few years ago, but
yeah.
Didn't bleed or anything.
He's okay.
He's all right. Any questions? So, Nicole, you were saying that you were blocked in on your prequel.
Yeah.
Maybe you can tell us a little bit more about that in the chat or come on audio. Like, how are you blocked? Are you blocked in the writing process or the editing process? We totally want to help you. So if you could give us a few more specifics, we can give you some specific support.
Are you trapped under a large block?
Right.
That would also stop you.
That would stop you as well, yes. Any questions that you guys have? We are going to specifically talk about this topic that Nicole or Melissa, is her pen name, came up with or asked us to talk about: lead magnets, list builders, and side products. We're going to give kind of an overview and then dive into some logistics. Great. So Nicole's being blocked with the writing. So maybe, okay. Yeah, we know what that's like.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one of the tools that we use, Nicole, and maybe you can tell us if this is helpful and other people chime in too, is I use timed writing when I'm stuck. And that happened to me today. I was going really, really slow. I was feeling really spacey. And I set the timer. My preferred time is 20 minutes. And then today I also set the timer for 30 minutes at a chunk. For some reason, 30 minutes worked as well. So, and then you just allow yourself to write whatever and however. Reminding yourself that you can always fix it later. Because I'm often kind of stopped because I'm like, oh, this isn't very good. Oh, my heroine, she still doesn't feel completely solid.
Don't worry about that.
But I'm like, you know what? It's a first draft. I can fix it in the rewrite. So, Nicole, let me know. Does that help?
That's one thing. Another favorite of ours is a list of 20.
Yes.
You can do it for anything. So if you're not sure what scene to write next, you could whether you write it down or you speak it into a recording. What are the worst possible situations that you can come up with for your characters?
Mm-hmm.
And just keep going. Just say the worst situations. What are they afraid of that they would really hate to be in? And pick that worst situation of the 20.
Mm-hmm. To write next, yeah. That's great. And that's one of the lessons in the Plan Your Novel course. So if you need that specific example, we can call that up for you. You want to read Trish's suggestion?
Yeah, so Trish says, I tell myself I'm going to reread some part of what I just wrote. Maybe change one sentence, but no pressure. Well, I've never stopped with just one sentence.
Right, yes. That's great, Trish. And I do that too to get going. I read the previous scene I wrote. And I let myself make little changes, nothing drastic, just little tiny changes. So that helps me get back into the story. So maybe, Nicole, you can say specifically what is the problem you're having with the writing? Or do you have ideas and you just can't write them? Or do you not have ideas? Are you allowing yourself to write crap so that you can fix it later? So maybe tell us a little bit more about that.
Good.
Yeah, and as you're working on that, do you guys have any other questions? I know you're deep in your projects, and if you don't have questions, that's cool. We can move on to our topic. Trying to think if I have any questions. I noticed that my question for myself, or it's kind of a question and then an answer, was I realized I needed more time to spend on my marketing. And so far, I'm really proud of myself. I have a buddy that I meet with now once a week on Mondays, Monday afternoons, this wonderful science fiction author who's local. We meet at Starbucks and we sit side by side and we do our own work. And sometimes we pause and we chit chat. And it's really great. And then I realized, gosh, I'm not spending enough time on marketing. And I would like to be. I would like to have chunks of time, you know, on my calendar. So I said, hey, Ezra, you and I, we need to sit down once a week and focus on our marketing. Because one thing I found is I have a hard time getting to my author marketing regularly if I don't have a buddy. So, and then the other thing I'll talk about later, because Nicole has something. Let's see, you want to?
This is fascinating. I've got a female pedophile who has just told her young victim that his parents don't care about him, and she claims she has a letter. That's as far as she got.
Okay. So it's about ideas. She needs help with ideas. Okay.
Yeah. So.
Hold on, let's ask.
Yeah.
Do you want us to brainstorm with you, Nicole? Come up with some other options? And great, Trish has already jumped in with a question.
So yeah, Trish's question, a letter that proves her point?
Yeah, what's in the letter? And what is the goal of your main character? Is it to scare the young victim? I imagine the young victim's already scared. And what does the main character really want to accomplish here? Let's see. Has she played best friend for him for a while so he might trust her? Yes, and then will your female protagonist turn the tables on the young victim? Let's play what if. So here's another game I use in my brainstorming is I start with the words what if. What if the protagonist, your female pedophile, was interrupted?
What if the son, or I mean the child, is a son of a cop?
So the stakes are higher if she gets
maybe
caught.
She doesn't realize it.
Okay. What if the female protagonist gets hungry and needs to leave the young victim alone? Let's see. The letter is supposed to prove her point. She ends up forcing him into marrying him. Okay, so... Why does she want to do these things? What's her point? And is this, and also what's the point of this is a prologue, right? Or a prequel, you said? So it's the story before the big story. I can't remember if you said it was a prequel or not. Sorry, I'm scrolling back into the chat to look at, see. Oh, prequel, okay. So what is the end result or the end goal? Is she forcing him or tricking him into thinking he's doing something noble by falling into her trap? Is he feeling uncomfortable about the marriage? Great. The great question. So what is the experience? You know, what is the young victim feeling? Is he scared? Is he excited? Is he confused? Is he not feeling anything?
Yeah. I mean, I'm also... not clear on her strategy. So I can understand if she befriends him and manipulates him, but in a way that really comes across as her being his friend. But this thing of forcing him, I don't quite see that, unless you mean by manipulation.
Yeah, how does he, how does she force him? What does she say to get him to agree or put him in a position where he has to agree? And why is she doing this? So the prequel leads up to the first chapter, which is years later. The prequel ends with them abducting the infant that they have used. Man, he's pretty intense.
It was pretty.
Oh my God. You want to read that?
So think about Snow White and the Evil Queen, who tricks her into eating a poisoned apple. Same type of story, just a different gender for the victim.
Mm.
That's what Trish says.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to get clarity on this. The prequel ends with them.
So the two people, the female and the young
and
victim
boy,
and the boy,
abduct an infant that they abuse.
Sounds frightening. So does the prequel take place in a short period of time or a long period of time? And also, how long do you want this to be? And the reason I ask these questions is it helps me figure out how long the prequel needs to be and how many scenes do you need? So that will help us. And what if, Trish says, yep, Snow White is adopted against her will too. She gets an evil stepmother. That's right. What can your heroine do or say to get what she wants? And at this point, I think maybe, Nicole, let me know if this is these ideas are helping you or sparking any ideas for you. At the end of the day, the decision on what to write is up to you. Let's see.
2 years before the abduction, which takes place on another planet, the victim's parents are both
lightning millers. Do they mill lightning? They do something, they make lightning? That's very intriguing.
Wow.
Science fiction writing. So 2 years before the abduction, which takes place on another planet. So that is the time period? I'm not clear.
Yeah, so it sounds like, right. So the abduction is the very end.
Right.
So this whole thing takes place over 2 years.
Oh, okay. So you have, and how long is your prequel? Sometimes prequels can be, novel length. So the abduction, so is the abduction and abuse to torture the parents through the child? That's a good question Trish was asking. And Nicole says, yes, lightning is milled as opposed to our version of electricity. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's a cool device. Yeah. Great. Well, let us know if these ideas are helpful to you. And pick the ones you like the most and run with them. And if you need more help brainstorming, we're here.
Yeah, definitely play with the what if ideas and the list of 20.
Mm-hmm.
Play with those. I think that will help with generating ideas.
Right. Yeah, very intriguing. Very intense. Great. Well, we actually have time for some more questions, if you guys have questions. And Nicole, if you have more questions, continue to ask them. Leo is back. He's saying, what are you two doing? Not petting me. I wanted to bring up one of the things I notice when I don't write for a few days. So actually, today was the first day that I wrote after a week of not writing. Because I was preparing for the webinar I did yesterday and everything. So one thing that I'm aware of, that tomorrow I have a nice chunk of time to write, but I don't have a buddy. And for some reason I wanted a buddy. So what I'm going to do, and I've done this before, you guys might have seen me do this, is I post on my Facebook wall usually, or on social media. Actually, I use Instagram and that post to Facebook and Twitter. And I tell people, I use sort of the social environment to keep myself accountable. And I announce, hey, I'm going to go write, and I have some fun picture, and I say something interesting, but not too much. I don't talk about my story because I don't want to dissipate the energy, but I'll say something that helps me and shows people that what I'm up to. And then I turn off all of that and I write. And then when I'm done writing, I come back and I comment on my own social media thing on Instagram, usually, and on Facebook. Hey guys, I did it. And this is what I did, So I use the whole sort of knowing that people are peeking in on me randomly as a way to create a container to write.
Nice.
Yeah, it's fun. People like that, especially people who aren't writers, and even people who are. They're always curious. We're all curious about each other's process. Did you want to read the chat?
So Trish says, Nicole, you have a rich set of circumstances to play with, lots of options. And Nicole says, part of the main book is the diary of the abducted infant who they claim is their own. The what if game sounds good.
Oh, good. And you're welcome to share your what if ideas and bounce them out, you know, put them in the group, in our Facebook group, and ask us if you have any questions or if you want opinions. And maybe just tell us which one you chose. Because in the end, you get to choose which idea to write. So Leo's tail is participating in the group. Poor Leo. So Ez, do you have any questions? I know you. We'll have you share in a bit too when we get to the marketing stuff.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've always. It's not really questions. I've always struggled with making lists, and so I have a whole bunch of ideas, but.
What kind of lists?
List building for newsletters when they need to go out.
We'll get to that.
So yeah, we'll get to that.
Okay.
Looking forward to it. That's really what I'm
cool.
saying.
Excellent. Great. Any more questions, you guys? Anything that you're curious about or top of mind, or even a problem that you had in your writing and that you solved? So the question and the answer. It's sometimes great to hear how you might run into a problem and then you came up with a solution. Like Trish was sharing how she had all these books in her house and then she realized, you know, oh, I can go read them all and gain all that knowledge that's sitting right here. Fabulous. Great. Oh, and Nicole says, I posted my outline to Facebook. Great.
Oh, nice.
Be sure to post the kinds of questions that you have for us or the kind of feedback you want, because people don't always post feedback if they don't know the kind of feedback that you want. So just some support there. Cool. Well, why don't we dive into our marketing piece? I know not everyone is ready for this, but I really encourage you when you do feel ready to come and revisit this material so get some ideas. Great. If no one objects, Leo doesn't object. Mm-hmm. Everybody ready? Before we go, Trish has a comment for Nicole. It's like,
even if the parents are vile and abusive, the child will have an attachment. In many ways, it can be a bit more evil if they are mildly abusive, but get the child to form the attachment with the belief the actual parents are evil. If the goal is to punish the real parents raising the child, to totally reject them, even hunt them down to kill or punish them for the imagined sins, can make a tense, tragic storyline.
Oh, very, very good. Yes, yeah. Very intense. Really good point, Trish. Yeah, very intense material to go over. All right, let's share the screen. And of course, keep popping in your chat, your questions in the chat if you have them. And also, as we go into this presentation on lead magnets, list builders, and side products, let us know your questions too. And while Leo tries to walk over my keyboard. All right. So you can't see, I don't think, but I'm holding Leo so that...
We can see.
You can see me?
No, I can see.
Can you guys see me? If you can see me, tell me that in the chat.
In the chat, yeah.
Just curious, because I didn't realize that people can see us when we run slideshows.
Tammy sees you.
Yay. All right. Good. So I better pay attention and look at the screen. All right. So, hold on one second. I got to switch. I have to hit the number 2 so that this keyboard that can work on multiple devices can now pay attention to my computer. That takes a moment. That's good space.
He says, I can see you if I click speaker view. Then you're in a little box in the upper right of my full screen.
Okay. That's how it works. All right. So to start off with, let's welcome in all the parts of ourselves that know how to do this work. One of the things I notice when I work with authors around marketing is they reject marketing as if it isn't already a part of being a human being. I believe that actually we are marketing all the time. Just as humans, we are always broadcasting who we are and what's important to us by the way we walk, by the way we talk, by the way, you know, by the things we buy, by how we set up our houses. Everything we do is actually can be seen by other people and is a message. That's what marketing is. It's about messaging. So we're going to talk about some very specific tools and techniques today, and I just want you to recognize that today we're going to put our attention on this, and whatever comes up for you, including like, oh, I hate this, or I'm not ready for this, that's totally fine. It's totally welcome. We welcome it all. So we're going to explore today what kind of items can you give your fans or sell them, but we're going to talk a lot about giving them to your fans and soon-to-be readers. And I wanted to give you just some quick examples of some promotions that I've done, bookmarks. I made the one on the right about how my bookmarks are coming, and I actually haven't followed through yet. I need to start. Eventually, I'm going to actually mail them to my fans who want them. And then on the left is various images of the mug that I created at the end of, must have been 2015. Yeah, because I was still running this promo a year ago, and I gave away. I shipped a mug to people who won it in the giveaway as a grand prize. And I so enjoyed making this mug. It actually has images of book covers of all the books of the collection. It's so much fun. I can't wait to make more. It's one of my favorite kinds of things to give away is mugs. And you could also sell these. In fact, eventually my long-term plan is to have a store on my author site and sell cups as well as other items. So this is just two examples of items, physical items, that you can give away.
And maybe a key thing to ask yourself is, what are the kinds of things I love being gifted, you know?
Absolutely.
So like, I love getting bookmarks. And so maybe that's the kind of thing to prepare, if you're debating like which sort of thing.
Yes, that's great, because clearly I love mugs. I drink coffee. I talk about coffee. Yeah. I had so much fun researching mugs as part of the promotional thing. So why have items to give away? What's the point? What do you guys think? What's the point of giving away items to build our list?
Spend more money,
yes. Actually, I didn't put that on my list, but okay. I put build your list.
Well, that's better.
That's better, right?
Yeah.
So you give away an item. Ideally, the way it works, people call them list builders or lead magnets, is it's act as an attractor. Someone says, ooh, you have a goodie. They come to your website. They see you have an item to give away. And it says, please put your email and your name in here, and I'll send you this digital goodie. And it's so it adds people's names to your list.
Love that. They love it.
People love it. Also, because we're hardwired to like love receiving gifts. Oh, I have a gift for you.
Thank you. Yay. I win.
Even a virtual gift, Ezra loves.
She gave me a beautiful virtual bouquet of flowers yesterday.
Yeah.
It was really lovely.
It was very, I truly wanted to buy Ezra roses, but it was like heavy and bulky, and it was like, wow, that's a lot of money. And so when he came home, I was very spontaneous, but it was from my heart. I like gestured to him. I mind giving him a bouquet of flowers. He loved it.
I did. I loved it. It was great.
People love receiving gifts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was especially, you know, I was feeling down, so it was really to help me cheer up.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, if you're going to give away a sample, like the first three chapters, in fact, I did this right before I released book three of my fantasy series, before the book was out, I gave away the first two chapters, and I got some signups, and I got people to read it and go, oh, that's interesting. So it gets them curious, and it's a way for them to get to know you, especially if you're a writer they've never read before. We'll love to read samples.
Yeah, you could even write just a very short story. And when I say short, I mean like 5,000 words. Like Beth wrote 3,500 words today.
That's almost a short story.
That's almost a short story. So if you spend like a week writing that story, then you have something that's, you know, so that for people, some people, if they just read the first few chapters, they may get annoyed. They say, oh man, they might want to buy it. The rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
But
they might.
It depends. Yeah,
it helps them get to know you, get them curious. Also, when you have items to give away, you do it once, you can do it again later on. And Ezra was going to talk about that a little bit, setting up systems that you can replicate Also, I don't know about you, but this kind of goes back to what Ezra was saying about things that people love. I love tangible things from favorite writers. Yeah. Even if I never read that book yet, I haven't read this book from Neil Gaiman, and actually it wasn't a giveaway, I bought it, but it's similar. You know, I wanted to have a physical item from Neil Gaiman, and I wanted his signature, and someday I will read that book. So what I'm trying to get at is we love tangible things. Even if, I know Takiri was talking about this, and another member, Pamela, was talking about this in our group, of giving away like a journal, and then you brand it to you. And then you've met the reader, and the reader loves it, and the reader has something from you. I've been thinking about doing this, but on the business side of like branding some journals to my, you know, Bryan School of Fiction or something.
Yeah, okay.
It helped.
Can you explain a little more what you mean?
Okay, because sure. So imagine you have a journal that maybe you buy in bulk, a blank book that is something that readers will like. So some of you will be able to see this if you're in the speaker view. And then you make stickers that have your book cover on the front. And you put the stickers on the front or maybe you put them on the back. And people know that it came from you. When we, Ezra and I, go to conferences, we get these little booklets, like even a little tiny spiral-bound notebook that has the author's latest book cover imprinted on it.
Yeah, those are great. I mean, because I love getting paper to write on, period.
Period. Right, we so, like paper. We're writers. Yeah,
so free paper.
Free paper.
And thank you to the person whose cover it is on the front to giving that paper to us.
And it also, especially if you meet people in person at events and book signings and book fairs, and Trish does a lot of cons, you know, and you get to meet this person that you admire or that you're just getting to know, and then you get to walk away with something from them. So that's what bookmarks serve this way. Pens, there's our wonderful tangible things, excerpts, and notebooks, for example.
And the goal of covers in general are the promise of an experience, as right. Beth taught me. And that is, if you're sharing that experience, every time they see this book, they love the cover, that they're going to want to get the book because yeah. It inspires them. It gives them the experience that they love so much.
Absolutely. So what are some other items that maybe you've received as a fan from a favorite author? That you, actually, wait a minute. Sorry, I'm ahead of myself. Actually, I want to make sure I've covered everything on why you would want to give these items away. Can you check the chat?
Oh, yes.
For some reason.
Okay. First of all, Nicole says, I love brainstorming. I do it all the time on Twitter with one particular member.
Great.
There's... She says something about drawing people into your book world is probably the...
Yes, you can absolutely do that. Other items, like I just thought of like figurines, like I write fantasy, and it'd be fun to make, I don't know, to give away something. Anyway, those items, they draw people into the book.
Yeah.
Into the book world, yeah.
She says, I bought a book called The Author Revenue Ladder. I have a list that from that book, but would love to add more. Mm-hmm. Are we talking about price points?
Not yet, but we can. This is about the giveaways instead of the selling. And the author revenue ladder, I don't know if it's written for novelists or if it's written for nonfiction. And that does make a difference because most novelists focus all their time and energy on writing novels and not at making products. Some authors have products. I'd have to look at the book. Oh, there we go. Now it's, sorry, that was me figuring out how my keyboard is actually working. What happened? There we go.
There we go. Okay, so then Trish says, after I finish my reference and research reading, I'll add the author revenue ladder to my list.
And yeah.
But Trish has got quite a bookmark collection, so she also loves bookmarks. Tammy says, I think promo items can also give your books an added sense of credibility or popularity to the readers. Hmm. If it has swag, it must be hot.
Yeah, who's saying that?
So that's Tammy.
Yeah, and I think that's true in certain book circles and certain like fandoms and cons and stuff. For me personally, as a reader, whether or not an author has swag has no sway on whether or not I'm going to buy their book. Zero. That's the interesting thing about swag. I love receiving it from favorite authors, but I'm already a fan. So swag has no influence on me becoming a fan versus, what makes me a fan personally is someone's writing. That's it. So reading an excerpt from a Kindle download from a sample of the book is what turns me into a fan.
Wouldn't it be cool if we had journals where we put on the front a sticker of the cover and in the back few pages an excerpt from the book? So that the front pages are all places to write and they can flip through and there's an excerpt as well. So then they get familiar with the kind of writing.
Anyway, yeah, maybe. That's an idea that we could test. Credibility, I do want to mention credibility and popularity do enhance an image. So it can make you pay more attention to that author. And it's part of the marketing cycle where you have to see someone or something seven to ten times for it to stick. So if you notice there's a lot of swag and you're at the conference, you notice, and then you hear about them again and again and again, and then someone tells you, oh my God, you got to read her book. And it's going to add to that list of 7 to 10 things in the marketing cycle that you need to be exposed to before you decide to try something new.
Right. And for those of you who aren't quite familiar with that, but the idea is when a person sees your book 7 to 10 times, or any product, then they're more likely that they'll buy it. You know? Anyway, so there's Nicole says both, and I'm pretty sure she's saying, is that book, what you said, is it about novelists or nonfiction? Mm-hmm. It could be that she's referring to that. That is for both a fiction and nonfiction.
Yeah, I read one of his books, or I started to read it, and it was too general. It was very nonfiction oriented. He wrote in a very general fashion. It wasn't specific enough for me.
Tammy says, I worked as a toy department manager, and even the toys for movies that kids weren't really interested in, parents would still buy like crazy, assuming it was the big thing.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So the merchandising factor, right? If someone's going to invest in merchandising for their own books, it makes them look more important. And that adds to credibility and popularity, possibly.
Trish says, I know this isn't a direct pre-book giveaway, but I'm more likely to buy the second book if the first has an opening chapter at the end.
Right. Right. That's not exactly a giveaway, but it is, it's like an added value or surprise at the end of the first book that you probably purchased. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's weird because I did something like that. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't, well, no, that's fine. That's fine. Actually, what I'm talking about is where I had a short story and then I had an excerpt from one of my novels, which actually kind of took half the book.
Right, that was a little misleading for people.
That was a problem because the buyer, the reader, thought the book was, say, 100 pages, and the short story was like 40 pages, and then there was only a sample of this book, so it's like this advertisement that went on and on. It's like she bought an advertisement, that's how she felt.
Right, so you have to be careful that you make it very clear to people what you're doing. Great. So we went through the chat in terms of why do we have items to give away? I think we covered pretty much everything.
Yeah. Let's see. Nicole says, when I was studying with Devorah Lansky, we talked about recipe cards and tribal items as this universe is tribal.
Okay.
And I write intergalactic culinary thrillers. Tammy says to Patricia's suggestion, what about a small print book with that chapter for the next book as a promo item when you're marketing the first one?
Great. Well, let's get to items then, because now that's what we're talking about.
Trish says, I think I could get into receiving a complimentary chapter as a promo.
Absolutely. So let's start brainstorming what we can give away. And I love this because actually in one of the author loops I belong to, someone was talking about printing novellas. And another author chimed in and said he printed short stories, novellas, everything he wrote, he made print editions for. Some of them ended up being giveaways, goodies. You can put them in gift baskets. So let's start. We talked a little bit about mugs. I love that. T-shirts. The long-term goal, like when I get illustrators for Henrietta, to do awesome, wouldn't that be great? A t-shirt with Henrietta badass with her weapon, you know, like on the cover, on the front or the back. Also bags. I actually have printed bags up and given those away. I love that. But I do that like grand prize kind of thing. But they could also be sold in a store. So bookmarks, printed books, excerpts, and Leo is on our table. He should not be on our table. We let him get on lots of stuff, but we don't want him on our dining table.
I think it would be a cool addition to your book table at an event, an exclusive chapter for the next book.
Ooh, absolutely, especially if it wasn't out yet, and especially if it was on pre-order. There is something tricky. You want to, your giveaways, you really want them to point to either something that already can be bought, right? A buy link or a pre-order link. Does no good to you to promote something that is not available for sale. Ezra, are you going to bring Leo here? He's having a conversation. I don't know if you guys can hear. He's like talking and Leo's responding. Very cute. Good argument. Journals. We were just talking about journals. What if you gave away a journal? Or I love, I think I have on here, quizzes. And we're going to talk about quizzes in a second. I think that's a great giveaway, reports, handouts, or checklists. Takiri was talking about like a travel checklist. I thought I put on here and I didn't, but your idea, recipe cards, and I don't know what tribal items you mean, Nicole, maybe you can get more specific about that. Also, because your story is an intergalactic story, I would love to see like a star chart or some kind of interesting space art that represented the setting.
Did you read these?
No.
They're good.
All right. Well, Ezra's got Leo in his arms. Let's see. Trish says, and this is cool. This isn't a giveaway, but I have a friend who got her book cover on her hard case luggage rolling bag. Oh, wow. So when she walks through an airport, you can see her book cover. Oh,
nice.
That's really fun.
Very nice.
That's more like advertising.
Yeah.
Nicole said, I thought about t-shirts, but they need to be made out of animal hides. Absolutely. So that would be probably a costly item to get created, but you could have a few and give them away as prizes or sell them in a store. Tammy says, so a gift with a pre-order. Good plan. I was saying, I don't know if you heard me when you were out there, that if you are going to give something away, have it either have a link to be able to buy it or to pre-order it. Don't promote something that isn't available to buy unless it's like an exclusive to your group that you are, who are already kind of like part of your inner circle.
Right.
You really don't want to promote something that can't be easily bought. Hi, Nadine. So glad that you're here. Trisha says, I like the idea of shopping bags. Yeah, I love bags. I have tons of them. And you can go to a store like Zazzle. And I'm going to...
I think a lot of people do love bags.
Yes, especially women.
Yeah.
Men too. And I have an item actually... I don't know if you're in speaker view and later on when we come back on camera, I made a travel tag that says Paris or bust. This was for when I was hoping to go to Paris with writers. But I could imagine making travel tags. If your story's, actually, we should tell Takiri about this, that since our books are about travel, you could put your book cover on a travel tag. And I did this, I think, at Zazzle. So I was going to try and write that into the chat when I get a chance.
Someone else
can put that in there.
I really like the idea of a book cover on a luggage bag. It's bigger.
Yeah, it is bigger. It is. Well, the travel tag would be something that you would either give to fans or sell. That would be like, ooh, this is for my favorite author kind of thing. Let's see. Tribal items, Nicole says, tribal items like some kind of beaded item. Oh, very interesting. What if it were like a pen with a... I have a pen, a very small pen that I carry in my running jacket with a loop that the pen is in. What if that it was a practical? So people hold on to practical items. Yes, you want to create branded items that go with your theme, but people will hold on to practical items. So pens are very practical. And perhaps you could do something beaded with a pen attached or some other item like a whistle or something useful. Nadine just arrived from karate training, so watch out, everyone. See, Trish says, you could definitely get your book cover on a travel tag. Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. I can't do chat with my phone. Sorry, I'm not logged in. All right. So I will type in Ezra's iPad. So Zazzle is where I have experimented with doing a lot of my giveaways. And then also Vistaprint. I actually did the pretty Christmas, the mug that I made. I'm pretty sure I did that with Vistaprint, which has its pros and cons. So those are two resources. Let's see, Trish says, for a matter of advertising or as a giveaway, you can take your books. Now don't panic. It will mean destroying a copy or two and convert them Etsy upcycle style into purses or ebook covers. So you're going to have to give us some little pictures of that, Trish, because I don't really know what that means, converting them into purses or ebooks. I mean, I've seen old books that have been remaindered from the library, and they're old book covers, like from the 50s or earlier, and they're hardcover, and the insides have been taken out, and it's just a blank book inside. But you can tell that this was an original book. Yeah. So you could take the wrap of your book and turn it into something else. I think that's what you mean, right, Trish? That's very interesting. I also have recipes in a lot of my books, and for the Henrietta story, I was thinking about taking some of the meals that are mentioned. I don't actually go deeply into the recipes in the books, but creating a little recipe book and writing it in the style of one of my characters, the cook, Jaxter, and he's very funny. So it would be a very funny like recipe book.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that I am planning on doing sometime this year, pretty soon actually, is I have a lot of epigraphs at the top of every chapter in my YA fantasy. I'm going to turn that into a special ebook that's going to go to my fans and to my Patreon supporters. And eventually I might actually sell it as well.
You could create a companion cookbook.
Absolutely. I love, that's a great idea. Was that Nadine? Was that that?
Nicole,
yes. And you could do that too, Nicole.
Trisha's going to post a link in the group. Nicole said they make their own things. Not sure if a pen would work.
Okay. Right. But it kind of crosses between what the modern world can use and what would evoke your story.
And Trish confirms it's what you do. You take the cover, take out the guts, and make it into an ebook cover if it's the right size. Oh, not any. Okay.
A cover that you would use to
for
cover.
A Kindle.
A Kindle cover.
Yeah, so an e-reader cover.
Got it.
If it's the right size. Or make a purse or accordion wallet with the cover as the outside of the accessory.
So I see.
If you have a wallet, you can use it.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Because I'm logging.
Hats and baseball caps. And yes, Trish says a companion cookbook is a great idea if there are recipes in your book.
Yeah. And other things too. So I am remiss and I do not have a map with my YA fantasy. But when I do get a map, and probably before it ends up in one of the new print editions that I'll eventually do, it will be something that a beautiful PDF that people can download. And that will be a giveaway as well. Cool. So does everyone feel like they have some ideas about what they could give away?
There's something about companion cookbook.
Yes.
How I like it so much because if, say, for example, you write a story and it has all these recipes, mm-hmm. or in your case, you have all these epigrams, is that what they're called?
Epigraphs, I think.
Mm-hmm. And you take them, you mm-hmm. put them in a little tiny, it's, you know, I know you can't do this, but a small coffee table book that's the size of your palm, and they would like hang out in the front where you buy your books at by the cashier or the cash register. Anyway, so you'd see this small book, which has all these great little epigraphs, and then gets you curious to buy the original book, where it came from, where they came from.
Sure, why not? Trish says, "How about a dragon for the Dragon Slayer?" Absolutely. I'll when we come back on camera, I'll show you guys some of my dragons that live here in my office. Maybe I could get some to give away. Anything else on the chat, honey?
So yeah, and Nicole says, "I have the recipes in an appendix, so that shouldn't be difficult to turn."
That's
it into.
That's right. Absolutely, it could totally be a giveaway.
Nadine says, "Let's see. I'm creating a missing case person for my character."
I think a missing person's case.
Missing person's case.
So like a dossier, right, Nadine?
I think so. Yeah, and they jump in the past to give my reader one more thing about them.
Cool. She says, "Yep." So imagine like a dossier from the cops.
Yeah.
That's really cool. That's really fun.
That is cool.
You could do that with your thrillers.
I could totally do that.
Oh my God.
That's a great idea, Nadine.
Yeah. Another thing is, for those of you like Nadine and others who've played Dungeons & Dragons, you could create character sheets, character mock-ups, write-ups of your characters in the style of D&D and Dungeons & Dragons. It used to be popular. I don't know if it still is, and I've never done this, but I've seen character trading cards. It's very popular in the romance community. Character trading cards. So if you go online and you search trading cards, people are making them digitally, and then the reader, you give them the digital document, they print them and do fun things with them. People love that.
Character trading cards.
That was me. I wrote that.
Okay. And I love this. AD&D.
AD&D. Is that sort of like attention deficit disorder and Dungeons and Dragons all together? Cool. So let's talk. It's fun. This is great brainstorming. Maybe you guys have some more ideas. Can't move. Oh, advanced.
Oh, advanced Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, okay. Let's see. Oh, so let's brainstorm what you can sell. So you can sell many of the same items that you can give away. Mugs, t-shirts, bags, bookmarks, printed books, excerpts, journals, reports, handouts, checklists, recipe cards, books. I was thinking of like a recipe booklet, you know, something that isn't. I like what Tammy's saying. Character tarot cards. Ooh, that's cool.
Yeah, that's great.
That's really interesting. And what is the place? It's called Cafe Press.
Yeah,
is one of the sites where you can upload your designs, assign them to products like t-shirts and cups and bags, and integrate that with your website. And they handle all the printing and the fulfillment. That's one thing that as authors, we really don't want to handle. Most of us don't have a warehouse or space to house items. We don't want to take the time to package things and fulfill orders and go to the post office and all that. So Cafe Press can do that. Oh, great. Hugh says he's used Cafe Press before and it's amazing. And I think Zazzle will allow you to integrate as well. I don't know. I haven't tried it, but I've seen other people have it. Yes, Zazzle also, who says, yeah. Zivebot, like that's how I found my this packing label. It's shipping.
Okay. I want to point out that I think it's really cool to start by selling the products first. Having you know, because Cafe Press allows you to just set up their own place or something where people can buy the products from the store. So it's not like you have to do a lot of stuff to set it up. And the reason I think it's better to start that way is because then you get to see what's in demand. Because if you start giving away a lot of stuff and you spend a lot of money creating t-shirts, for example, it could be that you're giving away things that no one's going to wear and no one's going to use. It's kind of a waste of money. But if you find that a lot of people are buying them, then giving them away, I think, is kind of special, and they'll be more likely to want them.
Yeah, good point. I mean, I've only done, like when I did my mugs, I just did like three. One to keep and two to give away. And I knew pretty much everyone was going to say yes to a mug, or same with bags. I only did two, one to keep and one to give away. So that's a good idea. I'm really encouraged now to try it.
Yeah. Nicole, the universe is also a barter society. Also, careers are in a caste system. Not sure if items could come from that.
Well, I think so, depending on what the careers are, what kind of careers are in your caste system. And if the universe is a barter society, what specifically are they exchanging? If you can be really specific about all those items can be then things that you create into physical objects.
Great. And Trish says, if you make up a game for your story and the characters play it and the story sells, then you can market the game. No one ever heard of 3D chess before Star Trek. You can get the sets everywhere now. And Quidditch, you can buy golden snitch necklaces.
She mentions travel mugs.
Travel mugs. Yeah. I want to create a board game. That's what Nicole says.
Oh, that's so great. That will be, especially if it's part of your story, and then you could create the game as a separate product. That's a great idea. Ezra, could do that. Ezra, creating games.
I love creating games.
Yeah, great. Well, let's talk a little bit about logistics. Oh, I had other in there, but let's go to logistics. Logistics. So here's a long list, because I was just kind of brainstorming it, but wanting to help you guys. So define your audience.
Good.
Right? You want to know who your readership is. Women like bags. My readership is women. They're pretty much going to like bags, right? You do need to know, what do they like? What are their likes, their loves, their passions, their desires? Hopefully they're a lot like you, so you can extrapolate from yourself. That's why I came up with bags and mugs, because I like them and I know a lot of women do too. Then you want to test your ideas with a few of your fans. Talk to your friends. Talk to the people who know what you're working on. Talk to the fans who know about your work. Say, hey, what do you think? Do you think a mug would be a good idea? Do you think a bag would be a good idea? How about a board game? You know, what about a quiz? Right? Oh, you need to talk about quizzes.
Yeah.
Set up a way to collect names. So you'll need a newsletter service like GetResponse, AWeber, MadMimi, MailChimp, et cetera, and et cetera. Make a plan. Set aside time on your calendar to work on your project. Give yourself more time than you think to work on this project. And what else?
My quick idea, though. It took 3 years.
So why don't you talk about, I wanted Ezra to talk about his recent project that took 3 years to develop and execute. But maybe you can go through this list and show how what you did coincides.
Yeah.
Add some things.
I was really shocked that my erotic version of Wonder Woman wasn't selling. And so I thought, well, what are some good ways to get the word of mouth going? Because I'm always thinking of, how can I get other people talking about my book rather than me doing all the work?
Which is called marketing.
Which is called marketing. Okay. And so I saw this wonderful presentation and then kind of followed it.
Oops.
But the oh wow, hello.
Sorry.
Well, it doesn't buttons. Show yet. We're still seeing the logistics. Oh, okay.
Okay, good.
Logistics. All right. So, so eventually I came up with the idea of it being a quiz that's passed along through social media. So 3 years ago, I wrote down the fun questions and the silly answers, and it looked like, oh, this is something that would be really fun. And I tailored it for who I thought would be the audience for my book. And then I needed the answers to the results of the quiz. You know, which superhero are you? Which sexy superhero are you? And so I searched online and found the pictures of the possible things. But so whoever would read an erotic Wonder Woman story is possibly someone who likes superheroes. That's why. So I defined my audience as women who read erotica and then know their likes, loves, passions, and desires for this book. It's also people who love superheroes. So we're talking about cosplay or whatever. Test your, yeah.
And they love quizzes.
And they love quizzes.
How many of you women, and maybe, and men, but I know that as a woman, I've done a lot of quizzes. I don't know if it's gender. Men do quizzes too?
I do notice, like, if you look at GQ and if you look at the women's magazines,
right,
there's always on women's magazines, there's always, you know, take the such and such quiz.
That's right.
Always, the headers are always there.
So it's something we like.
Yeah.
Taking quizzes.
Yeah. Test your ideas with a few of your fans. So I think I didn't really do that well.
You could have spent more time on that.
Right. But the issue was that figuring out, for lack of a better term, the logistics of how to get everything coordinated with the quiz system, the quiz platform, my site, and my website, and the newsletter service, getting all that integrated and writing a short story to offer for free to the people who take the quiz and see the opportunity for a free short story and sign up for that. So that took a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd say the biggest amount of time was just figuring out how to do it. Now that I know how, I can write this, I will write a blog post on all the things you need, and you could probably do it in a month or 2 months. So make a plan. I didn't really have a plan. That was also a problem.
Mm.
But so set up aside time on your calendar to work on your project. The reason I finally finished, because I really just put it off. That's why it took so long. But the movie Wonder Woman is coming out this year.
That's right.
I mean, people are going to notice, they're going to have a top of mind, Wonder Woman, Wonder Woman. So yeah. I really think now's the time to get it out. And so I pushed to get it done. And so now my next steps are to, if you picture, the way I picture systems is that it's like the little carousel on a playground where you kids get on, and then you got to push it to get it going, and it's really hard to get it to start going and turn in a circle. But once it gets going, then you just kind of tap it every once in a while to keep it going.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really need to push to get this quiz out. Mm-hmm. And to get a lot of people to try it out. And I mean, after the first day of releasing it, some lady in where was it?
Denmark.
Yeah. Denmark signed up for my newsletter.
Yeah.
So that's good. I just need to keep pushing and get that out.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully it'll take off. Yeah. So we'll see.
Yeah. Great. Great. So, I think Ezra posted the link to his quiz last week, I believe. So you guys can check it out. It's in the group. And Nicole says that she wants to create an audio and visual RPG. And Tammy says, Nicole, I can help you with that. I've written a ton of my own RPGs and LARPs if you need resources.
Wow.
Awesome.
Wow.
That is great. And maybe you can define, Tammy, what a RPG and a LARP is for those people who don't know.
Yeah, so RPG, I know, is role-playing game,
I'm
pretty sure. I don't know what a LARP is.
Live-action role-playing game, I believe. And Nadine was a dungeon master for a few years, too. Absolutely. So lots of resources here. So as we wrap up this portion, just remember why you're giving away lead magnets, list builders, and selling side products. It's for your fans!
Yay!
That's one of my fans. My niece, Kira, who... I can't wait for her to read book three. it is for your fans. So what did you discover today? What are your ahas? And what are your next steps in terms of your author marketing life or your book marketing life? Go ahead and post your next steps in the chat. And while everyone geeks out about being a dungeon master, Tammy was a dungeon master too. That's so awesome. All right, we're in spotlight. So... yeah, what did you guys learn today? What, any ahas, any discoveries, any questions? And what are your next steps? I know that for me, I think a next step, I know I could be really helpful to Ezra if we sat down and we helped him generate a marketing plan for his, now that his quiz is done. And I don't know if everyone caught it, but he wrote a short story, 10,000 words, something like that.
Yeah, I actually don't remember.
I think it was a little bit less. I remember it was about 15, 16 pages. I edited it. He made a cover for it, and it's really cute, and it goes with the theme of the other book. It's actually a prequel to the book that's published.
Right.
And so when people take this quiz, they get to see their results, and they opt. And it's an option for them to opt in. It's not a requirement.
Right.
So the quiz is free to everyone. And in terms of, there's no need to give a name to get to take the quiz. You just have to give a name and an email to get the free prequel.
Right.
Which is a lead-in. And I think you put chapter one at the back of it, right? Chapter one of Ariel's.
I don't think I did.
Bylinks.
I did put the bylinks there.
Okay. Okay. Great. So clearly he and I need to sit down and have a marketing conversation about this. Great, we have some next steps. Woohoo! Trish says, you could attach a bookmark to a little bag with multi-sided dice in them for games if your readers are super geeky. Yeah, that is great. You're so good with things like that, Trish. That is really great. Nadine says, with a video game, you can play it without seeing other people. Absolutely. Hugh's next steps, finish the book breakdown. Woohoo! Can't wait to see it.
Great.
Nadine's going to edit her time travel book 3 and write book 4 to finish that series. Awesome. And you're going to do that in how much time, Nadine? Not all in 1 week or 2 weeks. I wonder how long that will take you. Tammy's ahas. Great ideas for swag, like the tarot card and exclusive pre-order chapter book. Next step, still soul searching, so I'm not sure. That's cool. Stay with your soul searching. No need to take action if you're not ready. And Nadine's going to do all that in 3 weeks. Awesome. Trish has gift bags and dice are very cheap. So are the bookmarks. So giving that stuff away at cons will work. Yeah. And I don't know if you guys have seen, if you follow Trish on social media, she's amazing at making things. One of your strengths, huh, Trish? That's really awesome. Great. Any other ahas, any other discoveries, any other next steps that you want to share? And I forgot to put some links up. So a few reminders I want to give you guys. So first reminder is January 20th, which is, oh my gosh, that's tomorrow. So tomorrow is the early bird registration deadline for the group coaching program. And here's the link for that. So that's January 20th. For those of you who are up for renewal, not everybody is, 9 p.m., and the early bird bonuses are you get the February class free, which I'll talk about in a moment. You get any one of my books. I should include Ezra's books too. A digital copy for free. And you get a 30-minute consultation with me added on to whatever package that you get. So I need to follow up with those of you who have registered already. Thank you. And if you pre-register by the 20th, those are the goodies. And people are talking about giveaways still. This is so cool. Nicole is saying, on One Planet, Your Mora, it's an audio-only society, so no writing system. Very interesting. Tammy says, you may be able to get custom dice made as well if there's a symbol or a logo with your books. I love that idea. I really like dice.
Huh.
That would be a great grand prize, yeah, for gamers. And Nicole's next step is to try the What If game. Excellent. What If is one of the most powerful tools for us writers.
Yeah.
Trish says, ooh, custom dice. Yeah, I love that idea of custom dice. That is so cool. In brief, and I'll be sharing more marketing, more information about this also later, but I know we just had our second group call for our current editing class, and I'm already talking about February's editing class. So February's editing class is going to be on creating compelling characters. I'm going to specifically focus on Beyond the Five Senses, which is going to be really exciting. If you want to sign up for that, the registration deadline is the following Friday. I have my calendars up now. So that'll be January 27th is the deadline for signing up for that. And you guys have discounts, awesome discounts, which I put in the newsletter for our group. So check those out. And there was one other thing. Oh yeah, I wanted to show you guys the dragons. Although this is not technically a dragon. I think this is a dog. This lives in my office on my shelf with my other inspirational items. This lives in my office. So, and actually, there's another one. I have a tie dragon somewhere. I don't know where he is, but this one too. I think a family member gave this to me. And I have somewhere a...
This lives in an office sometimes.
And I had a Thai dragon. I don't know what happened to my Thai dragon. Oh, Foo Dog. Yes, thank you, Hugh. Tammy says, I want to say the site is qworkshop.com for custom dice. All right, Tammy, you absolutely have to show us pictures of your dragon shelf. Absolutely. I have crystals. I have tarot and decks of all kinds. Nicole says, Yomura is a dragon culture, so lots of dragon items. Wow. Very cool. So many people love dragons. I can't show you the dragon kite I have on my wall. It comes from my grandfather. It's 6 feet long. Trisha says, Foo Dog, the others are dragons. The lion was extra cool. So is this a lion or a Foo Dog, you guys? I'm not really sure about that. There was one other thing.
It's a Foo Dog.
Oh, Leo! The lion. Of course, the Leo. Excellent. Leo the lion, Foo Dog the dragons. I think we're good here. We got everybody. Cool. I was just looking around at all the other things I have. Lots of things. Lots of iconic items in my space. That'd be fun if you guys want to share pictures of your beautiful of your setups. You know, what are the items that you collect that are part of your creative writing space? That would be so fun to see. So our next group call will be February 2nd, the first Thursday. All calls are for the first and third Thursdays of the month. And our theme is going to be something, a topic that you request on the writer's life or editing or creativity. So if you have something that's burning in you, let me know. We could also do some short writing sessions, like what if writing sessions together, do some timed writing. If you guys want that, let me know. I really shape these calls around you. And Nicole is saying, ebooks, that's what I collect. Ask Smashwords. We will. Excellent. Wonderful. So does everyone share what their next steps is? You didn't say what your next step is.
So now I'm not sure whether I should fix the ebook to include the first chapter or something like that. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'll do that. If not, then after that, the just getting the link out there, quiz out there.
Marketing.
So I already started on my newsletter. And then.
Cool.
Go from there.
That's great. My next step is, continue working on my first draft. I need to actually set up my next step for editing this other novel, and I need to work on some marketing. So those are the three things. In fact, I hope to get to all three of those tomorrow and start those pieces. And I have some big marketing plans I'm working on, so I'm kind of in the planning phase there. And great, Tammy put in the link for the customized dice, which I am so interested in. That's really, really cool. Now I want to put dice games into my stories. Make sure. Cool. Great. Any last questions, you guys, or any last ahas or discoveries or announcements? Any cool things happening in your writing world? Any book signings or other author events? Actually, Ezra and I are going to be speaking. Well, that's in February, the third or fourth Saturday of the month. I can't remember. Locally, so we're going to be at the California Writers Club, Pleasanton. I hear somebody.
And Trish and I will be at the.
That's in May.
Clockwork. Yeah. Wonderland.
Oh, I wanted to
BayCon on Memorial Day weekend. We will be publicizing Clockwork Wonderland.
That's so great. Oh, and I wanted to really give a shout out to Nadine. This is her last group call with us. She's moving on to other better and greater things that don't include us. Well, include us in her, we'll still be included in your world, and you're still welcome to be part of the fellowship. So, hi, Nadine, do you want to say anything? Bye-bye.
We'll say hi, and it was fun for you to be with you for all the year, though, but we'll be still online, so that will be fun, too.
We'll stay connected. Be sure to give us your links so we can sign up for your mailing list. For those of you who haven't done it already, I have. And good luck with everything. It's been so great to have you here in this inner circle, the group coaching program. And I'm sure in the fellowship of the pen. Yeah.
True. Yeah.
Great. So big virtual hug for Nadine, everyone.
Hugs.
Yeah, don't be a stranger. That's great. Yeah. Wonderful. Well, I'm so glad that to see you all here tonight, and happy January. I hope the rest of your month goes really, really well. And I think that's it.
That's it.
I think that's good. Great. I'll unmute you all so we can say goodnight and see you again in a few weeks. All right. Good night, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.